This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, May the 16th, 2008.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
The weather is wet and cold. Farmers in Argentina are on strike. And the new crop corn bean spread narrowed by nearly 80 cents this week. We'll talk about that and more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Brian Roach of Roach Ag Marketing. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Tell me the importance of the changing corn-soybean spread in Chicago. Paul Cooley?
Well, number one, you're basically referring to the supply-demand estimates in which the government came out with the carryover, increasing the carryover on old crop corn and dropping the carryover on old crop soybeans. But in the mystery here, we have to look to the following year, and they basically came in with a drastically reduced carryover for the following year. And it boils down to this, that the world production of soybeans are going to not expand, particularly in the South American producing areas, as much as anticipated. It's more profitable to raise sugarcane and turn it into ethanol, possibly raise corn. And as a result of that, it gave a real boost to the philosophy that soybeans are going to have to go down the road, and the only big acreage increase is CRP acres in the U.S. the following year. So we have basically a pretty bullish scenario this year and next year on soybeans, and that's the big factor that pushed that spread together.
Pete Manhart, your view?
Well, I think with that spread getting, people might be more willing to plant more beans and less corn. But the weather has been such a factor this year that I think people are going to try to get in what they had planned unless we really do have more delay and they're forced to go to something else.
And Mike Zuzulo.
Yeah, I think the clients are definitely looking at it, Todd, especially if you get below I-16 in Illinois and I-70 in Indiana, and that's usually pretty heavy double crop area also in beans. So we could even see a larger amount of beans in those southern parts of those two states. I think it'll be interesting next week because we'll get the Monday corn planting progress, and it looks like that maybe that November bean dease corn ratio is topping out a little bit, and that could be fundamentally justified if the corn planting is not as well ahead as maybe the trade was thinking at the end of last week, and you kind of combine that with the July Nove bean spread. That looks like to us that maybe technically it's bottom, that July should start to go up against Nove again. So those two things could end up being, you know, maybe some leaders and indicators that maybe the November beans are getting a little bit toppy here. So that's kind of the things we're watching for next week. But if you take that ratio much higher and you get to that 2.2, 2.25 level, I think you will start changing acres into beans, especially if the soil temps start coming up.
What are we talking about today? Is it, what,
2.19 around?
2.19, yeah. On that ratio, and it's changed from 1.9 prior to the last report, correct?
Yeah, right before the report.
So what does this really tell you in the long run about where we're headed here?
There were too many people too short the bean market, and it murdered them, and it's just not that easy to snap your fingers and get a lot more production in South America. So we are going to be blessed with some pretty good soybean prices. I don't think it makes a bit of difference on more acreage here or planting delays, because one of the things that we're looking at here is that we are looking at pretty good demand, Energy prices continue to run away with themselves. And beans are going to be a pretty tight commodity, not only this year, but next year as well.
You know, it's the World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate the last time around. It's those carryouts for next year that are making Paul Cooley, can I say, bullish?
Well, yeah, and I told the guys in the office, I said, this means $7,500, $8,000 to $10,000 an acre farmland unless the government opens up the CRP next year. This is a very bullish situation in both corn and soybean fields in the Midwest.
And anybody that's not bullish in the room at the moment, Pete, Mike?
I'm bullish long term, short term. What's happening is the strike on, the strike off, that kind of. We saw it this last week. Beans were down, 67 cents, and then back up whatever. So I think there's, in the short term, you can have things that drive it down a little, but in the long term, we're still bullish everything.
Mike?
We're pretty friendly the short term, but I think we're still very worried about what the policymakers may do in the food category, especially as we get closer and closer to the election. And I have to say, as the energy prices go higher, I think we're going to start to feel that a lot more in the commodities. And the main reason, Todd, is because whether you're in China or whether you're in the United States, the past couple of years when commodities have gone higher, companies or governments have been able to offset that and not pass those higher prices or costs onto the end users. That time is over now, and we're starting to see that already where China's raising their fuel prices, and we here in the United States are starting to feel it just like everywhere else in the world. So this year, as energy prices go higher, I think we'll start to feel it a lot more than we have in the past 2 or 3 years, and that could really cut into our demand eventually.
In Chicago this week, July corn futures had a high of 631 and a quarter. This is the lead option, actually. Low of 585 and a quarter, so it's the May and July combined. July is the new lead, 591 on the charts. That's 27 and a half cents lower from the May close of last week. We go on the weekly continuation chart. December contract is 616 and three quarters, down 33 and a quarter cents from last week. Soybeans like this. July futures, we've been talking about the spread. 14.02, the high, the low at 13.11. They were up 28 and a half cents at $13.78, and the November at 13.49 and a quarter, up 45 and a half. Just another quick reminder, the May's expired this week on Tuesday, I believe, at noon. So when we talk about July contract, it's really taking a look at what the May highs were for the week or what the May contract was trading in the week as well, and was a change from Friday to Friday. So as you look at the marketplace over this long run then, Paul, is there anything that a producer needs to do? Do they, in your opinion, need to invest in farmland? Do they need to invest in some other place? Do they need to think about more corn acres next year? Do they? What is it that you believe, Paul Cooley, at this point, a producer ought to be thinking about for the well-being of his farm over the long run? And I will preface that with this statement, that is this gone from the idea that we have a bubble in commodity prices to just a simple rise in commodity prices?
Well, my hunch is that grain storage is probably the best investment a farmer could make, or a country grain elevator. We're also hearing the grain industry is very close to making a major decision here. If the carry gets much larger, it's going to be a new additional market. In other words, we're going to buy old crop corn, hedge it in the next year, and lock the carry in. There's tremendous carries out here in the wheat as well. So there's going to be, and there's relatively abundance of cheap money here to buy corn and wheat and also possibly carry it in the next year. My general impression is, Todd, that we are in a boom time. My hunch is I don't think it's a bubble, because I lived through the real export era with the Russians, and they did ultimately have a good crop and basically left us high and dry. But we do have a worldwide population demand. We do have this energy issue, which is extremely important. And also, we have this new wealth, and it's great to see farmers with some money in their back pocket, and they are making some very good decisions and are very conservative about spending money.
Hmm. You agree with that? And I guess I want to talk more about the potential, and I'm on a bigger subject here, on the potential whether this is a bubble or whether this is really now a market. And I think we're probably far enough in that maybe we can make some decisions about that.
Well, I think that we are more volatile than we've ever going to be or ever been, and we're going to continue that. And the farmer needs to have some kind of a plan in there to be able to catch the highs and protect against the lows. I think long term, the world is using what we're producing. And as long as that's happening, prices aren't going to go down much. But today, a $2 move up or a $2 move down in beans or a dollar up or a dollar down in corn isn't going to look like as being a fantastic move. It's going to be something that happens, and farmers have to be ready for those kinds of moves.
Do you think a farmer in Illinois that's closer to the river is safer at this point than a farmer that's in Iowa that has a couple of ethanol plants?
Oh, no. I think maybe it's the exact opposite as far as is what he can get to sell his corn at. You know, if you're a livestock producer, I think you're really, unless you're a cattle feeder, you're probably really not looking forward to being next to an ethanol producer. I think it would probably be the exact opposite because the river is more the export market, and it seems like that tends to widen and fluctuate more than those basis levels around the ethanol or the feed mills.
With the increase into new highs again for crude oil, do you feel safer on the ethanol front now? Is that right, Paul?
Very definitely. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and I think there was a while. I think that is that really maybe that's the fundamental factor that we should talk about a little more often is with crude oil making new contract highs. I think maybe you're talking about a safer path for ethanol even in Congress.
The one issue that really bothered us, I think it was on Thursday there, the market did have the big drop, and we were searching everywhere to find out why all the commodities were down. By the way, there was a hearing in the House of Representatives that basically one congressman said the best way to solve a lot of this problem with this fund money coming into the marketplace is go and basically take the commercial status away from these funds and put speculative limits on, make them pay full margin requirements. Something like that, it would be a little scary to the marketplace at this time. And we did see people run out the door. My hunch here is that the marketplace, it seems to be very orderly, even with the commodity funds and funds taking a lot of money out of the commodity markets and putting it over in the stock market, there does seem to be fairly good demand, from three sources, the ethanol, the exports, and to a great extent also the livestock industry.
Let's take a look at some of the other numbers in Chicago for the wheat. This week, July contract had a high of $8.11 3/4, a low at $7.48 1/4, a settlement price there at $7.77 on the weekly trade from the May to July now, down 14.5 for the week. July wheat at $8.31 1/2 for 2009, 21 cents lower. What are your feelings about the wheat market at this point?
That the corn market could be the next wheat market, or the corn market could be the next rice market. I think it all goes back to that supply and that weather. You know, we've taken 40% off the top end of the wheat price, and we've added a little bit to our carryover from 07 to 08, and we've barely added anything in the world stocks of wheat. But yet the futures prices have seen, as you, in your words, that bubble pop, and I think that's where it goes back to the crude oil. If the crude oil does lose value and the speculators do walk away from crude oil on an idea that demand is finally breaking, that the people in the gas stations are not filling up and they're not, just piling it in and going everywhere and taking trips, that the crude oil could lead to a break that would the beans would probably pick up on first since they've been following the crude mostly, and then that would finally, probably get into the corn. But I think the wheat is a real good template to use for a downside break in corn.
Yeah, but you're talking about a big run-up in price before that?
Not necessarily. I think that's where the corn could be like the rice market, where it has a great big run-up, but it has to be led by continued supply and weather problems, just like the energies have.
The wheat weather forecasts are good to excellent. The only thing that we are picking up, of course, that the Southern Illinois wheat crop does have wet feet, and the crop's probably 2 weeks behind normal. And we think that with all this cool weather in the Midwest that the corn crop's behind normal too, Todd. So, and the soybeans are behind normal. So we are going to possibly see a 2 or 3 week later harvest than normal.
Pete, finally, what do you – well, go ahead.
If you get into everything that we're talking about, usage, 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 demand, demand. If demand goes down for the energies, that could hurt both corn and beans. But right now – people are talking about $140, $150 crude. As long as that continues and we have high prices there, our grain prices are going to stay up. And doesn't matter, ethanol plants are going to make good money because of that. So that's keeping that going. And as long as the dollar stays low, the rest of the world wants our stuff at 60% of value that they see.
Here's what the livestock numbers settled like in Chicago for the week. June contract and live cattle, 94.95 on the top. The bottom, it's 93.62.5. Down 65 at 93.87.5. The May feeders at 108.47.5 at 112.5 higher. And June lean hog settled 76.35, down 52.5.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. A cool and wet weather pattern remained over Illinois this week. Temperatures this week were 6 to 8 degrees below normal statewide. Average high temperatures the second week of May are normally in the 70s, but on most days this week, temperatures remained in the low to mid 60s. It was also another wet week across Illinois, with several weather systems bringing rain to most of the state at various times. Precipitation this week was about twice the normal, with the exception of far southern Illinois, where rainfall was near normal. Precipitation for the first half of May is near to well above normal statewide, and the frequency of rain-producing systems continue to slow progress with spring planting. As of May 12th, corn planting in Illinois was 46% complete, compared to the five-year average of 82%. Next week could provide a favorable window for making planting progress. Warmer weather should spread across the Midwest beginning early next week, with high temperatures here in Illinois possibly reaching the mid-80s by the middle of the week. A few scattered showers are possible along a warm front in the northeastern half of Illinois early in the week. More widespread showers and thunderstorms are possible on Friday as a cold front moves through Illinois and interacts with warm and more humid air streaming northward from the Gulf of Mexico. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to Commodity Week, recorded Friday, May the 16th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois. Our guest today is Brian Roach. After graduating from college in 1990, Brian began a career working for Fortune 500 companies, starting with Dial, which was then owned by Kraft Foods, followed by Great American Pasta Company, and ending with Arm & Hammer. His focus through his career was in food, chemical manufacturing, maintenance, and logistics. He joined Roach Ag in 2006. He's co-located with Uncle John Roach in the Boca Raton office. Welcome to Commodity Week, Brian.
Thank you, Todd.
In the long form of your bio, it says you brought your manufacturing and business management experience to Roach Ag, and that you quickly learned to pass it on to farmers. Can you tell me how the two are related, manufacturing and the farm business?
Well, the two are very much alike because both industries take some sort of raw material and convert it into a finished good. And farmers have proven, you know, over the last 20 years or so that they're very efficient and have they've taken in new technology and not afraid to invest in their business, and manufacturers do the same thing. They both, you know, bring in process improvement and drive yields, which is all really geared to drive cost out of the system. And farmers have proven that they're, you know, I wouldn't bet against an American farmer in terms of, you know, how they convert the seed into that finished good. We do a great job of it, and American manufacturers have done the same thing. So we talk about different, the terminology is different, but the end game is really the same, which is to take as much of what you start with at the very little cost, with very little variation, and turn that into a more consistent end product, which corn, beans, and wheat, versus a car, a laundry detergent bottle, or a package of food, it's all the same thing.
So when you take that into a marketing plan or into what you're doing for Roach Ag, what is the input product that you're starting with that's not that you don't want to vary, and how do you help them make that work for them better?
Well, what we're trying to do for most farmers is give them an easy to follow plan to make sales when the market gives us a window to do that, and really to take the marketing year and fold that back into something that most of our farmers can take and run with. It has to be simple, but easy to follow, but also deliver some sort of result back to the farmer that, you know, makes sense. We find that most guys that most farmers that we talk to, producers, have shot from the hip, so to speak, for many years. And what we're trying to do is take our Roach Ag sell signal and couple that with a farmer's production number, really based on what they want to do on their farm. And we all know that all farms are different. And so what we're trying to do is them an easy-to-follow game plan that helps us navigate the year, because we don't know where the prices are or how high they're going to go necessarily. We're all kind of guessing at that. Some are better than others. But the bottom line is the producer needs to know what to do, and we're trying to help them make that decision and know what to do.
Brian, thanks for being on here today. What's your opinion as far as the bullish commodity of the agricultural commodities, and a little time frame about prices and levels that you're looking at?
Well, corn has followed both the wheat and the bean market, and it's kind of the commodity to follow here today. You know, the wheat market, if we look at that, it was as a result of several years of bad production and tighter and tighter stocks, and now we find ourselves quickly within a year pushing stocks to what most analysts would call comfortable. A bean market, even though world bean supply has actually been adequate as we were looking at it last year, the demand side has pushed bean ending stocks tighter and tighter and tighter, and combined with some speculation, you know, we saw beans push $15 plus. But as we look in the rearview mirror, we've seen what can happen to the wheat market. We've seen what can happen to the bean market. We took more than $4 or $5 out of both of those commodities. And I don't know if this is the place where corn makes a large break, but I think that it certainly stands a chance of seeing a pretty good correction. But we're bullish long term. Just we're friendly, really, the corn and beans long term. Short term, I think that there's probably some pressure we're going to see relative to the planting schedule. We're going to get this crop planted, and then we're going to debate how good it is and the quality, et cetera. But I think, you know, as long as cheap energy prices hold up, we're going to be we'll look at commodities probably staying pretty firm here.
In your marketing plan on corn, what percentage would you have sold of your 2008, and then how much of it would you have covered with puts, and how high would you go on your puts?
We Of the bushels a producer would want a price, we would have about 75% of those priced with one more sale planned here for the mid-growing season, and we'd have the balance of that covered with some out-of-the-money put options to give us a floor should the market break lower.
Brian, is your impression that maybe world importers for grains think they're going to have a better 08-09 in securing supplies than they had in 07?
Is that relative to all the commodities?
Yeah, either that or just pick one if you want to.
Well, I think that, you know, we're going to have to grow a larger corn crop next year. I mean, I don't see us being able to live with the ending stocks position where it's at today. And likely we're going to see, you know, a bigger corn crop and probably a lot of incentive to plant more beans in South America. And we ought to see ending stocks pump up here.
Brian, well, quick question here. I know you guys have your roots in Iowa. Do you expect more corn being planted out there than what the USDA is saying, or will the farmers cut back a million acres like some of the pre-reports indicated?
Our indications are that the farms who are have been able to plant, and there's a fair amount of those guys. My guess is that we'll be in the mid-70s on Monday's planting progress report. And the folks who have been able to plant will probably plant those extra corn acres if that's what they intended to do, and they have the weather to do it now. So my guess is that you'll see some guys who have been able to plant get those acres, and then still some of those sections of Iowa that are awfully wet still, they'll probably both be glad to just get the intended acres in.
Okay, I asked the one on corn. How about soybeans as far as where would you be marketing? How much sold, how much would you have protected with puts?
We've been more aggressive with the beans and started selling them a little earlier, but most guys are going to be out of old crop beans here, maybe just a small increment left on the new crop. We'll be 75-80% sold of what a producer wants to have sold, and probably less than 25% covered with some options. We haven't been as strong with the options on the beans.
Brian, any final word from you before we let you go for the day?
Nope. I appreciate being on the show, and you know, I feel like the corn market here, we're going to quickly move to, we're going to take the gap between planted and the average in half here Monday. So last week we were 26% off the average. My guess is we'll be half of that here Monday, and with clear weather out there, I think we're going to quickly move to some other discussion on how the corn crop looks.
Brian, thanks much.
Appreciate it.
Brian Roach is with Roach Ag out of Boca Raton, Florida. Now a final word from our panelist, Paul Cooley.
My opinion is that because of the Chinese earthquake, they're going to continue to be a very aggressive commodity buyer.
Pete Manhart?
Take advantage of bumps up and be ready to market when the opportunity is there.
And Mike Zuzolo.
Well, we're looking for the next 3 to 6 week trend in prices for corn, beans, and wheat to get established by next week's price action.
Now, we would like to thank our panel of analysts, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Mike Zuzolo from Mismanagement Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a very good and a very safe week.